in Ephesians chapter 3. And look at verses 14 through 19. These are verses that are familiar to us, but I think God is speaking to our hearts today, as he has been from the opening scripture through the last song saying, talking about his love for us and our response to his love. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 14. And it reads this way: "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God." Amen. I want to talk to you today about the family business. The family business. You and I being a part of the family business. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, right now, God, you will anoint, God, my tongue. You will make it like the pen, God, of a ready writer. Father, proclaiming your truth as you give. Father, I pray, Lord, for the ears, Lord, of us as we hear. God, we would hear clearly, Lord, the message that you desire to communicate. Should Richard, by chance, get in the way, Father, I pray that, Lord, you would filter me out so that, God, we hear you and only you. Then, God, as we have worshiped you, our hearts have been made fertile ground for the reception of your word. And so now, will you plant it deep into the citadels of our hearts so that, Lord, a harvest might be produced 30, 60, 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. It's not a common practice today, but in times past, it was kind of the expectation that children, and particularly sons, would follow in their daddy's footsteps. That's not the practice as much today as it was once upon a time. Daddy was a farmer, you were expected to be a farmer. He was a sheep herder, you were expected to be a sheep herder. If daddy was a cobbler, you were expected to know how to make shoes. Amen? If daddy was a blacksmith, that's what you were expected to do. If daddy, by chance, was a doctor or a lawyer, you grew up in the family knowing that one day that the family business would be handed over to you. Because in that time, it was expected that the offspring of the family would participate in the business of the family. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I want to suggest to you that even though we've changed our methodology of operating in these busy times in which we live in, God still has an expectation that we are to be a part of the family business. Amen. We started this day off talking about giving thanks to God for the fathers who are earthly fathers who have been present and active, and just thanking God for giving us a daddy. Amen. And then we move from there talking about earthly fathers to really acknowledging the one true daddy who never ever leaves you. The one who loves us enough that he says that you can call me Abba Father, which is a term of endearment, because God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You are mine. You belong to me. And in fact, when you go back to Genesis, where it talks about in the beginning, God created man, he told man that you are now to be fruitful and to multiply, and that you are to spread my image throughout the earth. It was God's plan, God's intention, that man would be about carrying out his business in the earth. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that God has not changed his mind. He is still calling his children to be a part of the family business. Hallelujah. Amen. He is still calling us to be a part of the family business. In this letter today that we're reading, that Paul, the apostle, wrote, in verse 14, he says, for this reason. You know, that automatically forces us to go back and say, Paul, what are you talking about? For this reason. Paul is saying, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. Why, Paul, are you kneeling before the Father? For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. It really says from his whole family. God is talking about his family. He says, Paul says, I kneel before him. And it's important that you and I understand the reasons in which Paul is talking about I'm kneeling, and then understanding what it is that Paul is getting ready to pray. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, and let me read 8 because they kind of go together. Paul says, although I am the less than the least of all God's people, the grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So Paul says, God called me so that I could preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles. And then in verse 9, he says, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Now, verse 10 is the one that you need to highlight in your Bible. That's the one you need to underline. That's the one that you need to remember, because it is the one that is going to propel us into understanding the work of, or the family business itself. In verse 10, he says, his intent, talking about God, was that now, through the church, you know who the church is, right? The ecclesia, those who have been called out of darkness to be a part of God's family, those who have heard the call and responded to the voice saying that it is only in Jesus Christ that you can be connected to God. Those who have responded to the clarion revelation that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He says that that's the church. Amen. We are the people that make up the church. The church is never and never shall be a building. Amen. If these four walls shall fall, the church will still stand. Hallelujah. Amen. And everywhere you and I go, we are taking the message of the kingdom of God as the church, because the work ain't being done right here. This is just a huddle. This is just a rehearsal. This is just a moment of encouragement. This is just a moment of equipping. This is just an opportunity to challenge you to use every breath that you have in your body to glorify God. This is just to get us fired up. This right here, this ain't the work. This ain't the business. This is the family meeting, but this ain't the business. Hallelujah. Amen. This is at the end of the week, or at the beginning of the week, however you want to look at it, where we come together to say, okay, look, we had a good week last week. God was good to us. Now we've got to get huddled up together and say, wait a minute. I'm still breathing. I'm still living. I got more work to do. Ready, break. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen now. Listen now. Listen. I ain't gonna mess with that. Let me keep going. Let me keep going. He says, through the church, through us, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Mm-hmm. His intent was that now, through the ecclesia, through the called out believers, to those who put their hope and trust in Jesus Christ, to those who understand that, like Paul, you are the least of all in the kingdom of God, who understand that you don't deserve the salvation that you have received, to those of us who are the church, who understand that it is by grace that we have been saved, and not because of our pedigree, not because of our hard work, but because of grace. That's the church. He says that the manifold, multifaceted wisdom of God should be made known. Now, this is the important part. Who is it being made known to? To the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. That's why at the end of Ephesians in chapter 6, Paul reminds us that you don't need to get too caught up with these people around here, because your struggle and your battle is not against flesh and blood. Because your job is not to fight against people. Oh, that ain't my job? No. That ain't your job. So you can stop cussing people out. What? No, oh, I'm sorry. I know you don't do that. I'm just saying, you know, that you know some people that cuss people out because, oh, she said, yep, I do know some people. I know some people. You can stop taking matters into your own hands, because what? Man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God's desire. You can stop getting so caught up with what people are doing, because you now realize that, wait a minute, my struggle ain't against them. They are just being used as a vessel, as an instrument, trying to stop God's movement. And so I can't get too caught up in what they're doing. I need to be paying attention to what God is doing and receiving the instruction that God is giving me, so that I can deal with the mess that's harassing them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because our job has not been to battle with people. It has been to get people to come into the family of God, to come into the kingdom of God, to know that they don't need to walk any longer in darkness, because the light has come. So you and I, when we start understanding that, no, we don't need to be worried about fighting with people. We need to be demonstrating the wisdom of God to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenly realms. Now this takes us to the place where we've got to deal squarely with the fact that evil does exist. Amen? I'm not suggesting that we deny evil, and that there are some folk, let me just say it, there are some folk who are just flat out evil. Amen. Now you gotta go ahead and name it and call it in order to deal with it effectively, right? There are sometimes when love needs to be gentle and love needs to be forgiven. There are sometimes when love has got to be demonstrated in a rebuke. Come on, y'all. One moment. Peter is saying to Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, boy, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then all of a sudden, Peter like, yeah, I'm hearing from the Lord now. And then Jesus starts describing to them that I am going to have to die. The Son of Man is going to be crucified, that he is going to be. And people say, hold up, wait a minute. May it not be, Jesus. May it not be. You do know you're talking to Jesus. And Jesus looks at Peter. And this is that rebuke and love. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? Because you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Peter went from talking spiritual language to talking earthly language. Peter went from hearing what the Holy Ghost was saying to hearing what the devil was saying. Peter went just like that. And all of a sudden, Jesus had to say, hold up, Peter. Remember whose you are and remember our business. Don't you let, just because you want it to be that way, don't think it's going to be that way. Because evil is present even among us. Remember that? That Jesus said, and every time you read it in the Gospels, it'll talk about, when it talks about Judas, they'll say, and the one who betrayed Jesus. Why? Because evil was right there, hanging out with Jesus, waiting for an opportunity to betray him. And you and I have to recognize that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against evil that is trying to stop the progress of God, that is trying to stop the movement of God. And you and I have to understand that we don't fight evil with our human resources. We fight evil with the power of God. Glory to God. Amen. So you can cuss a demon out. And let me warn you, when you cuss him out, he got more cuss words than you. Amen. So when you finish saying what you don't say, he going to say, let me show you something. And then we'll slice you up and spit you out. You'll be like, I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was walking into. Yeah, yeah, that's right. My bad. My bad. And so we don't try to fight evil with evil. We fight evil with good by the power and spirit of the living God. Amen. So Paul is saying that your business, our business as children of God, as the family of God, as the body of Christ, is to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the rulers and the authorities in the spiritual realm. That's your job. Your job is to show the devil and every other authority that is looking is that the blood of Jesus Christ was sufficient to make you clean and make you holy. Your job is to demonstrate and be a witness that the power of the Holy Spirit is able to help you hold your tongue and love those who are unlovable while you tell them about the love of God. Your job is to demonstrate that when you are fully surrendered to God, that he can take that which is lesser and do more with it than that which is greater. That's your job. Your job is to confound the wisdom of the authorities and of the rulers of the spiritual realm and help them to know that God has your back. That's our job. That's the business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you get it confused. That's our job, is to carry forth the good news of Jesus Christ and his power to show that we have been redeemed, we have been saved, and that he has authorized us as his agents upon this earth to do battle. Glory to God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been called to fight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've been called to fight. Hallelujah. So Paul says, for this reason, Because you and I have been called to fight. Because you and I have been called to represent. Because you and I have been called to display the manifold wisdom of God in every situation, in every circumstance in which he allows us to be a part of. He says, for this very reason, I kneel before the Father. Glory to God. I kneel before him. In other words, Paul said, I'm praying for you. Right? Paul says, I am praying that the Father whom we are establishing, the Father who gave us this business, the Father who gives us our identity, the Father who has called each one of us for his purposes, I kneel before him so that he can thoroughly equip us. He says this in verse number 16. He say, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. In other words, Paul saying, I don't want you to go out into this assignment weak. I don't want you to go out into this assignment ill-equipped. I want you to go out into this assignment empowered, because the one that you are fighting against has power. And I want you to go out to be able to stand firm against him and carry forth the message of the kingdom of God. That hell, you've been defeated. Oh, wow. Some of us don't believe it. Because we got too much hell going on in our lives, don't we? Amen. To say that hell, you've been defeated, and then you're in the middle of hell, kind of feels strange, don't it? But remember, your job is to be a witness. It is to reveal the wisdom of God to those who are watching, to those who are harassing you. So while you're in the middle of hell, you've got to declare truth to hell. Hell, you have no power here. Wait a minute. We overcome the enemy how? By the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of our testimony. You've got to open up your mouth and say, hell, you have no authority here. Okay, if you don't say that, right, you can let hell keep slapping you around, beating up on you, and thinking in your mind, I wish somebody would come and rescue me. But every time you open up your mouth and you declare that hell has no authority, you are actually calling for help. What you're doing is crying out to God, because you don't have the power in and of yourself to overcome hell. It is his spirit that's living in you that empowers you to overcome hell. And so you've got to remind yourself, I ain't in this thing by myself. Yeah, I got some help. Oh, and the kind of help that I have. The psalmist said it this way, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Where does my help come from? Oh, my goodness. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In other words, the help that I got, it's got power. So you and I have got to open up our mouths and declare that no, you are not ruling in this place. No, you don't have authority in this place. No, you are not welcome here. No, you've got to go, but you've got to open up your mouth. I've shared this with you before, but I think it bears sharing again. Sometimes when you're being tormented in your mind with thoughts that don't belong there, the best way to get rid of those thoughts that you are being tormented about is to open up your mouth and begin to speak the truth of God's word. Because here's what happens when you're opening up your mouth and speaking the truth of God's word, that thought can no longer torment you. But while you're sitting there trying to get rid of that thought, if you don't open up your mouth, that thought is ruling you. But if you open up your mouth and began to declare, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. If you begin to open up your mouth and declare, ain't nobody like my God. You begin to open up your mouth and say, there's nothing that is too hard for my God. All of a sudden, you are changing the way you think. And the thought that was then tormenting you has to flee. And if it has the nerve to come back again, what do? You start all over again. Because when you begin to proclaim and speak, you are now exercising your authority. You are taking control of your thoughts. You are proclaiming the word of God, which has power. It is living and it is active and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. You are then speaking into your atmosphere and you are changing the conditions, because now you are declaring the creative living word of God. And as the creative living word of God is being spoken in your space, things have to change. Hallelujah. He says that you may be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so that's the goal, to be strengthened so that Christ can dwell. That's called building a shelter, a tabernacle. He's living there. May dwell in your heart, not a temporary arrangement. No, no, no. You want him dwelling in your heart. And then Paul says, and I pray that you be in what? Rooted and established. Rooted and grounded in love. Woo. May have power, that word is power again, a lot of dunamis in here, together with all the saints. So not just you, but all of us together are starting to understand how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ is. And if you can get it in your spirit about the dimensions of God's love, he says that love casts out fear. If you can get it in your spirit regarding the dimensions of God's love, fear will no longer torment you. Amen. Amen. Now, I just gave you the recipe. That when you start thinking about when fear comes to mess with you, what do you need to pursue? God's love, right? No. That's the answer. When fear starts to mess with you, whatever it is that has you afraid, you start thinking about God's love concerning you, concerning that thing. Because when you start to pursue God's love, love casts out fear. Love drives away fear. It says fear has to do with punishment. You ain't worried about God's punishment. When you're in his family, God ain't into punishing you. Oh, he will discipline you, yes, but he ain't into punishing you. Yeah, I know you messed up. I know. Can I just tell you something? You ain't by yourself. Amen. Amen. There was only one perfect one, and his name is Jesus. Son of God, Son of Man, without sin. Perfect. He's the only one. The rest of us, yeah, we messed up. No matter who trying to front like they ain't, you can see right through that. He says that you and I need to be rooted and established in love, that we may have the power with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness, of all the fullness of God. So here's the truth that you and I know. Let me sit down. Is this. That God triumphed over the devil through love. It says that God loved us. How do we know it? Because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Jesus loved us because he obeyed the Father and carried out God's plan to die for our sins, which we could not pay for, so that we could be forgiven and be placed in right relationship with God. All of that becomes this perfect illustration of love. For what? God so loved the world that he did what? Gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting, eternal life. Amen? What was that? It was by his love. It is God's love that does that. Because God has loved us, because he defeated the enemy by his love, God continues to defeat the enemy by his love. And our business then is to become lovers like God. We've got to love like God love. Amen. That's the fact. Okay. In case you were wondering, what's the family business? The family business is to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God that shows that love triumphs evil every time. That's the family business. Your job is to learn how to love like God loves. Oh my. Wow. Amen. 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 I know it. You're thinking about, really? Yes. And if you need a refresher in what love is, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, read verses 1 through 13. It's going to tell you what love is. In case you missed that, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Will tell you what love is. Amen. When you're reading that, you're going to say, what? That's hard, man. That's hard. And God is going to say, I know it's hard. That's why I didn't leave you to do it in your own strength and power. That's why he said, now unto him who is able to show you how to do the hard stuff. Now unto him who is able to help you love beyond what you thought you could do. Now unto him who is able, not by your strength and not by your power, but by the power that lives on the inside of you. Now unto him. He says, I'm not leaving you to take care of the family business by yourself, because if I leave it in your hand, you're going to bankrupt us. You're going to mess us up. No, you're going to have to go through an apprenticeship program with the Spirit of the living God. Yeah, you need some training. Got to root some bad habits out of you. Got to root some false attitudes out of you. Got to root some stuff out of you so that you know how to run the business according to the Father's standard. And so he says, by his Spirit who lives in you, he is able to do immeasurably more than all you can imagine or ask, according to his power. Amen. And then it says that when you're doing this, it's going to be to his glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. When you go back and you start reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in the middle of that, around about verse number 7 and 8, you're going to see this description that helps you kind of think about the dimensions of God's love for you and me. He says this, love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always perseveres. When you start thinking about the depth of God's love, he's going to always protect you. He's going to always trust. He's going to always hope. He's going to always persevere until what he has purposed comes to pass. Because the last part of that, in the first part of verse number 8, says these words, love never fails. Love never fails. Your job and my job is to execute the Father's business, to love like God loved, to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and to love like Jesus loved, and to take those which are lost, those which are broken, those which have no hope, that because you lavish love upon them like love has been lavished upon you, that the hell will see that they can't hold on to the one that you are praying for, that the one that God has called out. Hell will discover that they are no match for the power of God in that person's life, expressed, amen, through love. Love changes things, y'all. Amen. Love changes things. And if you and I will learn to walk in the power of love, we will discover how much love is able to change things. I think I'm willing to try it for a little while. Yeah. I think I am. I think I'm willing to try loving the way God loves, because he says he has poured his love into my heart by his Spirit. I think I'm willing to let him do what he wants to do and teach me how to love the way that he loves. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with your strength. And then turn around and love your neighbor as yourself. I think I'm willing to try that. I think I'm willing to try to love God with all that I got and then love you too. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank you that God, you have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, of carrying forth the good news of the kingdom, of dismantling the works of the devil. God, you've given us the charge and you've given us the authority to go forth in his name. You said that we must be careful that we do it in love. And so, Father, I pray today for fresh anointing, for a fresh dose of your love upon us, your people. Where we have been cold, thaw our hearts. Where we have become callous, will you chisel away the hard stuff? Where we have become complacent, help us to be diligent. Father, where we have become lazy, move us to action so that the manifold wisdom, your manifold wisdom, can be on display to the rulers and the authorities, that your love will rule, your love will win. Your love will set people free. And so equip us today so that we will be that people who are Christ-centered, so that we will be that people with big hearts, so that we will be those people that are doing big things, God, for your kingdom, as we learn to love the same way that you have loved us. We thank you in Jesus' name.